all the praise and all the glory. And we pray that you use us as your vessels, as your servants, Father. Father, we pray that our worship to you, we offer it to you, God, on our knees, Father. Because you are the Creator and you are Lord. Not just Savior, but you are Lord of our lives. Father, I pray for Carrie. And Father, I just pray that you give him conviction, that you convict his spirit as he's speaking, that he uses the words that come from you, Father, that will touch our hearts and motivate us to live our lives totally and completely for you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to be your children, allowing us to be brothers and sisters because of the cross. Father, we praise you for the cross, but we praise you even more for the resurrection.
Yes, Father, thank you.
Pray all this through Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, let me get my glasses. I've aged since I was here the last time. Now I can't see unless I have something to look through. I think y'all better turn this down. Y'all know I'm loud, and normally under most circumstances long, but I won't be long. I will be loud, I'm sure. I can't help it. It is my nature. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I did not come to St. Louis to preach. I came to be with my Christian mother and Sister Canary, and to just visit with her and spend some time with her. You know, sometimes you hear the voice over a phone and you know that you ought to make the best of the time that you all have left together. I might leave before she does, but I knew I needed to come and see her. I lost one of my favorite sisters, my physical sisters, to death, and I waited one day too long. I was packed to go to see her, and she died 8 hours before I was getting ready to leave. And I made myself a promise. I would never wait to go see anybody that I loved again. Never. So I'm here not to preach to you, and I consider it a great privilege to be able to share the message of God with God's people. But I came to be with my mother. And this woman has blessed me. There are few places you can go in the world and sit down in somebody's house or get in their bed or go in their refrigerator when you're not an actual member of their family. Well, she calls me her son, and I call her my mother. There are two other women like her on the face of the earth. One is my physical mother, and another is a lady in California named Mary Harper, who the Lord has fulfilled his promise to me. By serving him in the kingdom, he has given me mothers, brothers, and sisters, and I thank him for that. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning, and I'm just going to read a little part of a verse, and I thank God that I can see it through these glasses. As some of you are probably sitting there thinking, why don't he get him another Bible? But you know, when something's comfortable to you, it's hard to get rid of. Some of y'all have some shoes on you probably should have threw away last month. But you know how it goes, so you don't talk about my Bible, I won't talk about your shoes. John chapter 20, I'm telling you the wrong place. I am in John 20, but I was about to tell you the wrong verse. Verse 10 and verse 11. And I'm not going to even read all of verse 11, but I want you to hear this. John chapter 20, verse 10 and 11. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. I don't know how many times I've read over the account of the resurrection of Jesus, and I have never seen what I've just read to you. This situation occurs because John's record of this only states that Mary Magdalene gets up early in the morning before day, and she goes to the tomb where Jesus has been buried. And when she gets there, she noticed that the stone had been moved. It had been rolled away. And she does not go in, but she looks and she turns and runs back to where she knows the disciples of Jesus is staying. And she goes to get somebody to go with her to find out what has happened in this situation. If you read the gospel accounts, this is not a rock. This is a stone. This thing is massive and huge. One writer says, one of the gospel writers records, that an angel rolls the stone away. It shakes the earth as it is rolled away, and the angel then jumps up and he sits on the stone. This is not a rock. This is a stone. She had no chance of moving it, and yet she gets up early in the morning before day to go to the tomb. And when she gets there, it's moved, and she runs away and she goes to get the disciples. And the scripture says that Peter and John will run back to the tomb. And as they run back to the tomb, I assume, because Peter is probably older, that John outruns him, and when he stands there and looks in, but he doesn't go in, but when Peter gets there, Peter, the older guy, goes into the tomb, then John follows him. And they see the burial garments, the strips of clothes, a cloth that they used to wrap the body of Jesus, neatly laid out on the place where they had placed him. And the burial napkin that covered his face neatly set aside from those things. This was not a rush situation. Whatever happened in that tomb, somebody took that time and laid out so that, and I believe, so that those who were coming could see that somebody, something had happened that was not a rush situation. And that some living being had been in there. He had not been taken by lions or taken by bears or any other type animal. Some living being had been there and had neatly arranged these clothes. And when they looked, and as they reasoned, and as they wondered, those two men who had been in the inner circle with Jesus, who had seen his transformation, who were closer to him than the other nine. Two of those three guys who were always with Jesus at special events, two of those men who should have understood, who should have known, you know what they did? They went home. They went home. And I asked myself as I read this, why didn't she go home? Do you know where she met Jesus? You know what kind of woman this was? You know what kind of life she had lived? Do you know that no one, no man or woman had any respect or regards for her up until he came? And I asked myself, why are you running to the tomb? The man is dead. She didn't understand the resurrection. I would love to tell you she did, but she didn't. You know what she knew? She knew that nobody had ever treated her the way that he had treated her. Nobody had ever looked at her without motive or without disgust or without criticism or contempt. Nobody had ever looked at her with genuine compassion and love and feeling. And nobody had ever embraced and hugged her the way that he did. And do you know how hard it is to give somebody up like that? My sister who died was my favorite sister because she always cooked for me. And she always would put me on the couch and get her massager and rub my back. And she went and bought a fish aquarium because she knew I loved fish. She painted a room a color that I liked, and she put the fish aquarium in the room. And I only saw this woman maybe once a year or twice a year. But this was the woman who taught me how to walk, who changed my diapers, who called me her little duck, who would buy me a shirt and a tie, and who would tell me, "I'm proud that you preach the word of God and I love you." Who was with me the first time as a teenager that I got drunk and staggered into her house, throwing up into her toilet, looking over my shoulder saying, "Boy, you look like you had a great time." You know how hard it is to find somebody like that? Well, Jesus was like that with Mary. And so she didn't have anywhere to go. You see, they went back to doing what they were doing. They went back to fishing. And they went back to the towns where they used to live before they met him. But what is she going to do? What is she going to give her life back to? She's going to become a prostitute, a hooker, be called a whore? No, she's going to stand at the tomb. And she is going to ask God, "Why is it that you have taken away from me the very man who treated me with respect, who loved me, who cared for me? Why are you going to treat me? Why are you going to take him away?" There are people who will come into this building who are just like Mary. There are people who work with you who are just like Mary. There are people in your school who's just like Mary. They don't want to go home. They don't have anything to go home to. And we're in such a hurry to get out and go do whatever we need to do because we do have somewhere to go. We do have some things to do. But there are people who don't have anywhere to go. And they don't have anything to do, and they're not all poor. Many of them are rich. Many of them are well educated. Many of them are sitting right here, right now. You want me to tell you why I know I had overlooked this text? Because the world we live in keeps telling us to move around, go do something, be creative. And there are people standing around wondering, "Where can I go? What can I do? Who can I talk to? Who really cares about me?" And in the middle of her crying, in the middle of her checking again to see, maybe I missed him. Maybe they missed him. She peeps into the tomb, and at the head and at the foot of where he was sitting, there are two messengers, two angels. And they say, "Why are you crying?" "Somebody has taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they placed him." And another voice speaks to her. She assumes it is the gardener, but it ain't the gardener. He says, "Crying, She says, sir, if you have moved him, please tell me where you put him. And listen to what she says, so that I can go and get him. Do you see this picture? Here's a woman looking for the corpse of a dead man. Now, I'm trying to figure this out. What's she going to do with him if he had him? Here she comes down the street. Dead body. And what's she going to do with him? Is she going to go rebury him somewhere closer to where she would have access to him? What's she going to do with him? Maybe she's just going to grieve a little longer. And try to figure out all the things that she told him. Or that she was told by him. But you know the good news about this thing? I love this. To identify who he is, he simply does this. He calls her name. I need to ask you, have you ever heard the Lord call your name? I can answer that question for a lot of people. No, because we're too methodical. We got to figure out all this stuff about Jesus. I want to tell you, you cannot properly respond to others until you hear Jesus call your name. Too much dust in my throat. We were cleaning and rebuilding. And if you can't hear the Lord call you, if he doesn't call you by your name, I want to tell you something. You're not going to treat people the way that they ought to be treated. You're going to get up and go home. I can tell you right now, the focus of whatever any church ought to be doing is we ought to be leading people to a Lord who will call them by their name. Now I want you to stand. I need you to do something, then I'm going to conclude and we're going to commune together. I want you to take your right hand and put it on your head. Now, y'all feeling right silly now, aren't you? Now, I want you to take your right hand and put it on somebody else's head. Now, I want you to take your left hand and put that on the head of somebody different. All right, now we got to move around a little bit. All right, now hold on. Y'all feeling right crazy now, aren't you? Some folk went and spent a lot of money on that hairdo for Easter. Now listen, look, just if you could peep around with your eyes, what does this look like to you? A mess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we are the body of Christ.
And we are.
And if we are not touching each other, really touching each other, to where people can walk in and say, what in the world is going on with these folk? Any visitors in the audience? You can't raise your hand. Any old people in the audience, you can't raise your hand. Young people in the audience, you can't raise your hand. Women in the audience, you can't raise your hand. Children in the audience, you can't raise your hand. While we recognize our differences, do you feel me touching you? This is what Mary wanted. And they left her standing at the tomb crying by herself. She wanted to be touched. She wanted to talk to her Lord. I want to ask you right now, just bow your heads with me and let's pray and ask God to help us. Y'all, see, some folks still touching. I like these people right here. Keep touching. You can stay where you are, brother. Keep touching. This is good. Let me get in here with y'all. They didn't leave each other. They kept touching each other. Good. Let's pray. Father, I ask you right now to help us to learn not to leave people standing crying, not to go home because things don't look the way that they ought to, or maybe in our eyesight we don't even understand what the resurrection is all about. I pray you would teach us. Teach us that we don't serve a Christ who is dead. We serve a Christ who is risen, who is living, who is alive and in here with us today. Father, he is wanting to touch us and call our names so that we'll know that he is alive. I pray right now for the person who is standing in doubt that your son is real, that he really came from heaven, that he really died for the sins of the world, and that he was buried and that he was brought to life again by your Holy Spirit and by your power. I pray for the person in this room who is questioning that right now, who's doubting it, Father, that they would become people who would trust and people who would believe. Raising a dead man is not an awesome task for you, Father. But you raised him so that you would let us know that you have the ability and the power and the willingness to bring us to life again. I pray and thank you for the life of Mary Magdalene, Father. We don't know what happened to her, but I want to thank you that she stood there long enough for you to speak to her so that she would take what she had heard and seen to the disciples, who then took it to the world. I want to ask you, Lord, please, for the soul who is standing in this building right now, who knows that they need to give away their life so that you might rule and reign in their life, would do that this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to commune together right now. We're going to ask those who are going to lead us in that communion service to come forward.